Blog Talk Radio.
Sherlock. Magical.
Hello, everyone. I'm Giovanni Brusco. You might know him from 106 in Park, renowned health educator Christopher Barnhill, and host of New York's S&M Radio, Mimi Griffin.
Hey.
And this is season this is season two of Poplitz Radio. Welcome, you guys. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Listen.
And Mimi, first, happy Easter to everyone. And do you mind telling us about, I forgot about this, about the pastor that was trying to, they were trying to resurrect himself?
Okay. for my yes wig moment of the day. Okay, so he got in full garb, you know, crown of thorns, robe, shoulder length, Brazilian body wave, lace front and all, and was going to bury himself in a coffin and pop out 3 days later like he has risen. And then he got a little scared. He was like, wait, all right, maybe I'll just, I'm going to just play dead on this cot right here. We ain't going to close me in for 3 days. But I don't know. Like, what do we think about him having to play Jesus in order to, I don't know, couldn't he just, what happened when they used to just give four-hour sermons on Easter Sunday? I don't know.
Look, I mean, on the third day, that pastor would have been dead. Okay, that would have been a funeral. I think it was, I mean, the theatrics that goes on in church is starting to become more like Barnum and Bailey. It's becoming a circus, and it's like, just preach a sermon without all the antics, without all of the hoopla. Like, just give us the straight sermon without, and it don't take 4 or 5 hours to do. Do you think all of them are sitting there for 4 or 5 hours listening to Jesus talk? No.
See,
like,
this,
2 minutes and say it, you know, and dip.
Why? People should go to seminary school. And these things always tend to happen in black churches. I'm sorry. I don't know if any white church is doing this. I mean, if you actually learned how to be a pastor to begin with, they actually teach you about stupid things that you shouldn't do. And one of them might be that the church might not take to you closing yourself up in a casket. That's not very entertaining. You might want to rethink that one.
Yeah.
It's not in the Bible either. I mean,
exactly.
Not in the Bible.
That, you know.
Oh, but why did he start there? Why didn't he start at the crucifixion though? He should have just started at the. Won't you just give us the whole scene from the time he was beaten, hung on the cross, taken down?
Oh yeah, that's much more entertaining. I mean, if we're going to go to the extent of the wig, and speaking of which, yeah, tell us about this this wig that he had on. What did he look like?
Okay, so it was a center part. Like I said, Brazilian body wave, but not quite because it was plastic top. It was about, I don't know, about shoulder length, and it was just...
You called the wig plastic?
It was not human hair. It was not Malaysian. It was not Brazilian. It was...
Not Cana Colon. Is that human, by the way? Is it?
No, it's not.
No.
Those are the
show what I know. Okay.
Those are the poetic justice braids that you burn at the end. No, that's not human. And then and the wig, it had a nice little crown of thorns sitting on it, though. Hey.
Oh, and look, listen, sidebar, I swear to God, I was 18 years old, and I think I was having my hair twisted for the first time. And I asked the stylist, I said, so, you know, I've seen people have their hair twisted, and they burn the end. And she said, what? She said, yes, they do that with extensions. She said, are you trying to be like Michael Jackson and put your whole head go up in flames? No, please do not ever convince someone to burn your hair. That was the first time when I actually learned what that was. That was a blonde moment, I admit.
And I still don't know what that is. I have a little shortcut.
I wasn't very, not very proud to, that was one of my proudest moments. So supposedly the hair is plastic, and you can burn the end of it to make it melt and not unravel.
Right.
So
I don't know.
But I don't know. It wasn't the hair made of wool at all. It was loose, blowing in the wind with the Beyonce fan in the background hair.
But have we ever followed that part of the scripture? I mean, about the hair being like wool?
I don't think that we ever have. And also, something that I don't think that we were following with this production was the wearing of foundation that makes you look like Ashy Larry. Like, he had makeup on and everything. Like, I can't. The foundation was too light. He had on funeral makeup. He really did.
So he looked like Lil' Kim.
That's shady.
But you know what, though? Somebody set her up. That's not, you can't love somebody and let them do this.
Because she do look like Jigsaw, though. She does look like Jigsaw.
Oh, God. Really?
See, my thing is, okay, I get with the first set of surgeries where she had work done and then a little domestic violence.
Then it was a corrective surgery to get stuff put back, and it was becoming Picasso at the end of the day. I couldn't figure out what the hell it was.
Well, then she kept chipping away at her face, then she did the body, but then she went to jail and got fat again over the body surgery, and then
that's how that worked.
Passed out, and then
did no album, you know.
I just can't. And then she wears the lace fronts and doesn't trim the part in the front that has the fake baby hair.
Because it's always a lot of it. Like, that part always irritates me. I'm like, the wig is nice, but, you know, I know that the baby hair is supposed to make it look real, but why is it so damn much of it? They used to pick on Beyonce and her and her nappy baby hair.
Because you're supposed to,
back in the day,
you know, depending on the size and shape of your face, trim that down. You're not supposed to just leave that on there. And she's just like, oh, no, my baby hair is going to blow in the wind. And
baby hair on fleek.
It looks like she has no money. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
Can we say something nice about her? Her baby's cute.
Well, God help us. Thank God.
I'll say this. You know, I love her. I think that she's, she's Lil' Kim. There's only one. I saw a meme this morning that said, this chick had Chanel bangs. Like, do you remember when she actually had Chanel drawn into her bangs or colored onto her bangs?
That was
like, so I'm not impressed by these, by these young girls.
I'm not. Like, and I love Lil' Kim to the bone. I definitely do. I went out with some friends. I snuck and bought the Hardcore album because I knew if I brought that home, my mom was not going to let that rock in the house.
Oh, no. So, you know, you're going to charm school. We're going to teach you. Bitch, we're going to teach you how to be a lady.
I was scared to look at
the album cover.
Because I knew if I got caught with the album cover, I would have gotten in trouble. That album cover was a little too much.
I just need to know what made her keep going after the first surgery. Some people get addicted to it. I'm like, nobody sticks you with a needle and you become addicted to surgery. What makes a plastic surgery addiction? Like,
well, Mimi, you know, you're aware of my ratchet side. So you know that I am a huge fan of Kaya Simone, and she had a song where she said, did all the men in your life tell you you was ugly? And you believed them, didn't you, dumb bitch?
Well, somebody should have
she told said, your face looked like you had a stroke.
She, oh my goodness.
because Kaya is just such a, you know, she's such a gorgeous woman herself that she can throw such vile shade.
Put my neck, my back, Kaya?
Yes, the one and
now,
only.
Kaya.
And I'm only smiling, do you hear it? Ear to ear on this subject.
And she's beautiful everywhere, her neck, her back.
I don't know if we can say the rest on the radio.
I know. Like, I was running that through my head. Can I say that?
Yeah. But you know what, though? I admire that she kind of says what she's going to say and doesn't hold her tongue. I'm like that. I was raised.
Who, Kaya?
I was raised in a family full of women with no chill.
Why do you sound like you are just in total shock that we are, like, being nice to this woman? Why?
Me? First of all, I mean.
Yes, you're like,
yes,
Kaya, like, yes. Me, Kaya? Is it? Is there another one that for us to speak of?
Well, I'm just shocked that he had more articles than music, and I'm just kind of, like, concerned.
Well, and here's my thing. What I don't understand about Kaya is why she had those little couple of hits that, you know,
we all love.
No, she did have some smaller ones now.
Yes, she had some smaller hits.
Oh, that song with Janet Jackson?
What was that dance? What was the dance song that she did? I don't remember that. It's like the K-Wang. K-Wang.
Yeah.
K-Wang with it.
No, I never heard that song before. No, I never heard that song. That must have came more like BET After Dark or something, because I never heard it.
And then she has a song, you know, for all of us women who regret some of our decisions, Snatch the Cat Back, which is like, you know, when
Snatch the Cat
somebody.
Back. And I love her deep voice. Snatch the Cat Back.
You mean to tell me there's no music that I haven't heard of?
Yeah, she's done
that,
like,
sounds like irrelevant.
She's done like 5 hours. Well, this is my take on this. And someone from the Ed Lovers show told me this years ago when I was carrying on about, and thank you for distracting me from my list of topics. It's a lot more fun, I think. But I was talking about LaToya Luckett, and I think she has a pretty voice. I love her music. And I was just listening on YouTube one day, and I said, she didn't sound so good here. And I played something else. I was thinking, that must be an off day. And then maybe like the fifth or sixth video, I said, you know, I don't think that she's good live. And I was talking about
no,
this.
No, she's not. She's
and the
not.
Person, and the person from the I Love Her show, it you know, DM'd me, and she said that everyone is not an A-lister. And it's okay. Like, that's just it. So she's in her lane. She's, you know, she does her music. It is what it is. She has her fans. People buy it. But that's it. And that's the same way that I see Kaya. I feel like as long as you have fans, as long as there's someone who wants to hear what you're doing, by all means, by all means, keep it up.
Definitely. I just don't know why. The thing I think that she made herself look irrelevant is after having those hits and even the smaller hits, she did that show. She did that reality show that with the upcoming rappers, and they were going to win this, like, $100,000 deal.
How long ago was this? Because I think I had heard a little something.
It was, like, early 2000s or something.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Not early, but it was around, like, 08, and I was just like, Rick, you're on VH1 for all the wrong reasons right now. Like,
I mean,
and Janet Jackson was nice enough to give her an opportunity by releasing So Excited as her next single, and it wasn't even a good song. And then she threw her under the bus with this new album. She missed another opportunity.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, and I tell people it's a tough industry, just on all fronts.
It is.
So, you know, we don't know what necessarily has happened, what's transpired, you know, in these people's lives. I mean, even just like on my level, like, it's a story in my head. I can't say. But, you know, for a number of years, I was mostly in gospel, like out of high school. I didn't want to be around a lot of entertainment people just based on their lifestyle, you know, and the fact that people are crazy. People are crazy. These people are completely crazy, period. Tina Fey had said that recently. I mean, people take stuff to wake up in the morning. They take stuff to go to bed. They take things to stay awake, and then there's all the recreational, you know. And then this is your minister of music.
That's
a lot to be around. And at least for me at that time period, you know, like, I've always taken religion seriously. So, I'm like, why are you doing this?
And then you know,
so I'm just saying, I don't know what necessarily has happened in her career, but hey, you know, I'm still here for her. I'm still checking for Miss Shimone.
But you know what? I hope that she continues to make music and does not add to those 14 mugshots that are floating around the internet. Right?
Oh, and they're amazing. They're all
the album covers,
and they represent.
They're the album covers.
I mean, she's like a part of Atlanta history that she chronologizes hairstyles for. I mean, she could be a beauty shop, you know, the style chart.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. But, you know, good luck to Miss Kaya Simone and, you know, get out there, do your thing. I'm always in the market for more ratchet music, so.
Yes, because the ratchet music that's coming out now, I'm in love with it. I'm in love with it. I love it all. And I love that little Fetty Wap. Oh, I just love him.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'm the type of person, and it's funny because people always, they kind of look at me and they don't expect the ratchet side. It's like all, you know, growing up, they see the nerd, you know, and then I got older, you know, and they see the medical professional.
Yay, we share that in common.
You know, and I look, you know, I dress semi-conservative when I'm out, but I'd like, low-key, I'm in the house having a twerk contest with my damn self in the mirror, blasting the ratchet music. I mean,
I mean, we have to have some type of an outlet and some type of
But that's kind of like me,
balance.
Too, because I get that, too, a lot, though. Like, people don't expect me to, like some music or maybe now I'm showing more of
But you don't have
that.
A conservative side, okay? I'm just going to be honest.
What?
So don't play us here. Do not play us.
I'm like Sister Mary Clarence. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah?
Which
where?
I was like, what's a Sister Mary
Which
Clarence?
Which where?
We haven't talked about that part of our life.
Okay.
The main perception of myself is that I perceive people thinking that I'm a goody two-shoe or very, just,
and where was I? Where was I when this goody two shoeing was going on?
That's what I'm saying. That's totally not me. It's social media that takes that. I'm ratchet as fuck.
F bomb number one, ding ding.
Sorry.
When you hear this word, take a drink. Not a shot, an entire drink on this beautiful Easter Sunday.
Yes, he is risen.
Now, speaking of Atlanta, Emory University, the students there recently discovered that someone had graffitied "Vote Donald Trump" all over campus. And to hear the way that they had gone on about it, you would have thought that they had went into convulsions, into cardiac arrest. They complained to the administration, and emergency funds have been released for them to receive therapy because they are traumatized, as they claim, Mimi, you're from, or you lived in Atlanta. I know that you don't claim the city. Or like to be associated.
I
know, and that was so pretentious. I don't. I do not associate with such mongrels. But you're from it. I mean, you've been there. There, I go again.
Uh-huh.
How would you have felt if you had gone out of your door, say to Starbucks or something, and there was "Vote Trump 2016"? I mean, would you call your area council member and say, "Oh my," you know? Check the CCTV. We must find the culprit. The student body president, I believe, said that we will find and we will deal with this person.
Here's my thing. And, you know, even from going, well, I went to college in New York, where I'm from, but college campuses have always been really, you know, they've been a huge political platform always, and people have protests and sit-ins and signs, and someone spray painted "Vote Trump." I mean, get over it. They're Trump supporters. Okay, at least they weren't like doing things like the people at his rally were and just snatching people and beating them up. They just spray painted. Okay, yeah, it's vandalism. All right, you know, if it was spray painted, then maybe. All right, have emergency funds released to clean it up, but
it was chalk. It was done with chalk, and they were traumatized. Their words was trauma, and they need therapy. And I would love to find out how much money was being spent. I mean, excuse me.
Look, Devonnie, that's a real concern. Like, seriously, I'm a little concerned. I'm concerned because Donald Trump is scaring white people now. So that's something to be concerned about. Like,
so hold on. I forgot to check on this. The demographics, you know, like what? I mean, is it majority black? Is it majority Caucasian? Do you have an idea? I forgot to look that part up.
I was about to say, Emory is a really hard school to get into, so I'm just going to go ahead and let you know that it's not predominantly black.
Okay. Oh, come on.
No, I have nothing to, I love my black people, but you don't ever see white people sweating talking about, I hope I get into this HBCU. Like, you don't.
I hope I get into Howard.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm super anti-Trump. And
I think that was wrong stereotypical voice. Sorry, but carry on.
Yes, it was.
I was like, what, didn't you do the whole slave? I hope I get into Howard.
He did. And I said, why? I see that the wrong way.
But
anyway.
I
want to get into Howard.
Courtney.
We've got to get into Howard.
We'll say that Emory is it's a mixed crowd, and I would say that there's a little, you know, there's a little bit of everybody on campus, and I don't know if it's because there are so many people from out of state that they're shocked, but you're in Georgia, super Republican state, Bible Belt. South, I mean, are you surprised there's going to be some diehard Trump fans out? Like, I don't know. I don't know why it was traumatizing and why you needed therapy. But if you do need therapy, my brother still lives in Atlanta. He's a wonderful psychiatrist. I can give you his card. But you're doing too much. Like, I don't know. To me, it wasn't a response for needing psychotherapy.
You know, I had said this before, like, if you are bothered by chalk, which is going to wash away in the rain, by the way, I mean, if you're bothered by some markings telling people who to vote for, there are some Hillary signs, vote Hillary signs, outside of my backyard here. You know, that's pretty goddamn disturbing. Where's my therapy?
Exactly. And I think
in the radio show.
Yes, it is disturbing me. I am bothered by it, and I'm afraid to go outside.
But you know what? And there's so much, like, you've got to think about all that goes on campus, on college campuses. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, there's rape happening, male and female. There is gay bashing. There's all kinds of stuff where
trainers can't go to the bathroom they want to go to.
But your emergency funds for therapy are going to people who can't just wash some chalk off of the wall?
Oh,
like,
and by the way, you know, in the fourth grade, they marked, someone circled the word penis in all of my books, and I came out perfectly fine. That didn't bother me.
So you can't go, so I don't know.
That's probably why.
Some people probably say that's traumatizing.
Stop undermining my point, damn it. What about in the bathrooms, you know, like circling or the person who drew penises all over the wall and the phone number of the class nerd above it, you know, which may or may not have been me, and that's probably why it turned out.
But seriously, I think there are so many other things going on college campuses that need, you know, the attention of, you know, mental health services. That, you know, some.
I mean, and Trump is a very polarizing person, so I totally understand it. You know, about okay. And there's actually, they say that there is a procedure to go through to do graffiti. That's interesting, or just the chalk drawings. Sidebar, no one complained, or there was no national outrage here, or national media attention when they drew Black Lives Matter on the ground.
And you know what, my thing is,
my thing is, like, whether you agree with Black Lives Matter or not, whether you agree with Trump or not, it's chalk, wash it off. It's not like when, you know, I could see if you're going to college every day, let's say it's a mixed crowd, say it's not even, say Black people are the minority people on campus, and say you were at that campus where you walked outside of your room in the morning and there were nooses hanging. Okay, that's a little bit worse than vote Trump 2016.
And but, that's what will be happening in Trump's office.
I'm leaving it alone. There are parts of the country, like there are schools where students have reported instances of racism like that. And then the security cameras showed that a Black person left their dorm room, hung a noose, took a picture, and sent it into the news. And then, of course, they got in trouble for it later. I mean, so then there are those people also. Like, I watched a student body president who said that, I'm glad that, you know, that this happened so that we can have this conversation and discuss this. I feel like this is a way to get onto television. I don't know why. What is this to discuss? Nationally, the chances of you graduating and getting a decent job these days are pretty slim compared. I mean, you're more likely to have astronomical student debt or student loan debt before you would have a good job these days. So if we're going to be getting outraged about something, let's be outraged about something that actually matters, like that, or as
exactly.
You said about, you know, campus rape.
Exactly. Or, I mean, if you're so mad about the chalk lines, like, take your ass to the poll and vote for somebody else. Like, I don't know. It's just the chalk and
go get a bucket of water and wash it off your damn self.
How about, like the tuition
too?
Exactly.
You want
to know.
Go
that money could
soaker, wash it off. Like, I don't know.
But can we cut back to the tuition? They have money to release for emergency funds for therapy, but the tuition keep going up because what? I don't get it.
Exactly. And Emory is very expensive.
Because my tuition went up at my school is 3.2%. It's to the point I'm like, look, if you want me to have a college degree, then you need to pay for it yourself because I'm tired of taking out student loans and getting scholarships and still being able to not be able to afford school, where the school had a $200 million endowment. I just refused to buy into it. And then all people that I know that graduated college and I have a better job than them, it's like, the whole thing of getting a college degree so you can get a job is just starting to sound more like a fable.
And
Trump has never been a politician, so what's his college degree at? To say he's studied law and politics.
Wow.
He has qualified for the job.
It's not necessarily a requirement. People's their preference for who they vote for varies. I mean, you know, you all were trying to elect Marion Barry's what was the drug he was doing? Like LSD comes to mind. I can't think of it.
Crack?
His son. You know, his son had some serious drug charges. I can't think of what it is.
His son was on some.
His son went to a bank and threw a trash can at someone, and yet all these people were supporting him for office. So people's qualifications.
It might have been PCP.
Yes, PCP.
Yeah.
Well, also you got to realize the situation. Like his father just died, and one of his closest friends just died, which happened to be a friend
Chris,
of mine. So.
I will come through this phone.
Come to the phone, bro.
I'm sorry, both of my parents are dead. My best friend died when I was 21. I didn't binge on PCP. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, thank you. He had the drug charges and all several years before. I mean,
I'm referring to the trash can at the bank situation. I'm not really talking about his drug.
My grandfather passed. I grew up with my grandparents. I did not become violent. I've had multiple career changes. I've had some traumatizing things that have occurred business-wise. I didn't go punch anybody in the face. I didn't threaten anyone. There was a story that I was, and this caused me to be banned from Facebook for about 30 days.
You got banned from Facebook?
Multiple times. I've been banned. I've been in Facebook jail. I'm like, this is like a revolving door.
You had a probation officer for Facebook?
I know. I gotta message him and ask him. Am I supposed to check in with someone to see how I'm doing? I need to know. Am I close to going back in to the clink? But this woman moved into a black area, a gentrifying neighborhood in D.C. Anacostia, which has generally always been known as the worst part. Well, now it's becoming an artist neighborhood. Anyway, this white woman moves in, and she said that a little black kid, 12-year-old, walks outside and shouted, "Get the F out of the neighborhood, stupid white bitch." And I had told her I felt bad that it happened to her and that, you know, the child shouldn't have done it. And lo and behold, the program director for the city's only independent station, React Radio, what is his name, Imonte, something like that. I don't know if you know who that is, Chris. You should.
I know React Radio, yeah.
Kimani. This man went on this, like, multiple-day rant saying how the little 12-year-old was how institutionalized racism is what caused him to call her a stupid white bitch and that he was essentially justified in doing so. You know, the kid is hurting. He's watching his friends move. He's watching his neighborhood be dismantled. And I was like, really? I mean, and then she said it was a blizzard. And you know, I get it. Maybe he's been cooped up in the house and, you know, that's why.
First of all,
he's been stuck.
Outside Kirk now, strangers, I don't care who it is. My mom would have had all of my teeth on the ground. Are you kidding? Yes.
I mean, I would be different with the opinion. I would say that there is some truth to that. Now, what he did, was it right? No. But there's still something to pay attention to. I mean, you live in a predominantly all-black neighborhood, and you know that D.C. is changing with more white faces, that can afford to live in the city. Prices are going up. It's a lot that plays into that. So it caused him to say those words. I mean, I get it, and I get it, but it wasn't right for him to just blurt out like that. Well, actually, who has just what's right and what's wrong anyway? That's how he felt. He expressed how he felt. Did he cause her harm in terms of physically? No.
I think that if she had gone and popped him in the mouth, she would probably be justified. And then the mother would be crying about, he was just so innocent. He was just the nicest child. Mind you, he's outside cursing out strangers. D.C. public schools is the nation's capital, has the lowest or one of the lowest school systems, number 47, 48. So if kids actually understood what was happening around them, to understand economics and understand gentrification, neighborhoods change, et cetera, and you have to deal with the changes. Then you wouldn't have such nasty remarks to make to other people. She didn't do anything to him, and I don't think that she deserves to go outside and hear that, even from kids.
Yeah, I do think, like I said, I think he, you know, there's every reason to be upset, but one, you know, I don't think for either side it's okay to go out and just yell out racial slurs and curse them out. And two, you know, what if the white lady just moved there and she didn't know what the neighborhood was like? She just liked the apartment or whatever, and when they went to see it, you know, paid her deposit, and first thing she gets when she gets there is, "Get out of here, you stupid one," as if she was the one who caused the gentrification. You know what I'm saying? So I don't
– Yeah.
It's like teach your kids what it's all about so they're not just going around cursing out every, like, white person that they come across. Like,
No. First of all, teach your kids. First of all, they're not learning the truth about their history anyway. So that's just not there. Stuff that they're learning through a white person's lens, and it's not always accurate. So while we may teach them that, it still means they're meanwhile still living in neighborhoods where poverty is high, crime is high, education is low. I mean, these kids are learning in environments where there's mold in the ceiling, sharing books. I mean, the goal of a D.C. student is to make it back home the same day. I mean, a lot of these kids don't get to do that. So explaining to them gentrification isn't just, it's one approach among several other needed approaches.
But you know what, though? And something that I say to parents everywhere, I don't care what school district that you're in, stop letting the teachers and the textbooks in your district be the only people who teach your child.
Sure. Actually, it is your responsibility to educate your child and to make sure that they grow up the correct way. I mean, one of my friends...
But the parents, by the time the children are in high school, the parents and the child have the same level of education. So,
hey, it is your child, it is your responsibility, whether you had a third grade education or whatever. You know, my grandparents, I'm from Georgia. I think they went from Georgia. They raised their kids up here, moved back to Georgia. I grew up there. I moved to D.C., I think, at 12 or 13. With my grandparents, they had 8 children. And I want to say that, they raised all entrepreneurs in the family. Everyone's generally done well. But I believe that they only made it up to elementary school. And many people have done well in that age range, you know, the 70, 80-year-old blacks from the South. But it didn't stop them from raising their kids the right way. They bought multiple homes. They never had a used car. And they taught us the way that they wanted us to be taught.
Yeah.
And I just went to school. So I don't think that that has to be an excuse.
None of this is saying that, oh, everyone's afforded the same opportunities in school. We all know that that's not true. But you have to take it upon yourself as a parent to go in there. You want your kid to be raised a certain way. You want them to learn X, Y, and Z, or you want them to learn as much as possible. Get in there and teach them. Everybody has the same access to research now that there's the internet and all types of, you know, you don't have to go check out books. You can do all the
things. Catalog? Oh, my God.
Okay, I did that, all right, in elementary school.
Oh, my God.
I did not.
Card catalog.
I did not have internet.
You have a 38-year-old card catalog.
And what would that certain age be?
Our age. Crazy.
I was about to say, we're not far apart now. But
I remember when there wasn't internet, so.
Yes, I mean, I didn't have.
Was that a read? I'm older than you, Giovanni.
By what, a year?
I mean, I'm probably young. I'm 28, so.
Yeah. No, I'm 1984. I'm up there.
Oh, yeah, you,
two.
Yeah, you.
By 2 years. I didn't have internet until, like, the seventh grade. And
high school, those AOL free 1,000 minutes, I used to let those.
My grandmother would, take the cord out from the kitchen phone, put it into the computer, and I had like 2 hours to do whatever I was doing and put it back. And my brother would come downstairs and try and sneak at a certain point to get online. You pick up the phone and it's like, there he is again.
It's like, don't you be tying up my phone line.
Right.
We all
remember it wasn't three-way either? Oh, my God.
No, it was just, you got on and you heard that loud CNG noise. Just like, yeah.
And it can go from anywhere from 30 seconds to 20 minutes waiting for it to come online.
I'd just be online and hear my mom from downstairs, God damn it!
I wish. I didn't have that much fun growing up. You know, there's no profanity at all. I think I heard one profane word my entire time growing up. I think my grandmother, I got called a jackass. And, like, that was about it.
Oh, no, my grandparents also had no chill. Oh my gosh. Like,
I had an English teacher in the house growing up. So, I mean, she pulled out the big words when it came to insulting.
That hurts more than cursing somebody out. It does. because then they're like, wait, hold on, I'm offended. Hold up, what does that mean?
Right, but I think it's a compliment. Oh, thank you.
Wait, what?
And I'm actually going to see them for Easter dinner this after the show. I will never forget my first Christmas on my own. I was 19. It was exactly 10 years ago for Christmas. I decided to have it in my own place. They asked me, was I coming? And I said, no, I'm having dinner at my place. And they said, oh, so you're not going to come for dinner? You miserable, wretched bastard.
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh, yes. I mean, for years, my friends used that back against me. Wretched. I mean, this was before the ratchet word came out.
Yes.
Who uses that word, you know, like a wretched bloke? Like, that was an old school Elizabethan English.
Now, I was about to say, old school in Atlanta still whip out wretched every once in a while.
Before we go, and again, thank you, Mimi, for I so did not want to go over my my topic schedule today. Cat Williams, in today's episode of Crazy with comedian Cat Williams, the 42-year-old got into an epic knockdown drag-out fight with a 17-year-old and lost. So you know what that means. You know who can come out and play? Meek Mill. The rapper who lost not one, not two, what was it, four rap beefs, including a PowerPoint presentation that was used against him on tour. I mean, it can't get any worse than that.
How does somebody do a PowerPoint presentation of every meme made against you?
That's terrible. That's terrible.
I mean, dang. That's pretty much just, I mean, he hasn't tweeted or anything. Like, he has just vanished. He lost several of the rap battles with Drake. And then 50 Cent came. He went after him. 50 went and hired someone and
dang.
Had nine memes by the end of the day. Nine.
I thought 50 Cent was bankrupt. How are you hiring people if he ain't got no money?
The same way he's building a house in Africa that he claims is a joke or isn't his. The bankruptcy laws are going to be changed because of
hold
him.
On. Whoever made the memes is hilarious because did y'all see the alphabet chart? And it was A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, Meek Mill's face, M, N, O, P. Like L.
For the L.
I was like, you know what? I can't. But
I logged off of Facebook after I went on your page, Mimi, and saw I saw two track racers running, carrying the L, and Meek Mill passing it to Cat Williams. I was like, I'm done with the internet for the day.
I mean, I don't know. What are we thinking? Because I don't know if you all saw the clip where Cat got on stage and he talked about what happened. First of all, he was like, dude was my same size, which is true. We saw that on video. He said the dude was standing there. He was the only little kid not playing. And he was standing there smoking a cigarette alongside Cat. So he thought, you know, maybe 18, 19.
I'm going beyond that time. That's okay. Go ahead.
Yes. So he said, yeah, maybe like 18, 19. And then he was like, that the little boy started, you know, being a sore loser when his team won. Cat was taunting him a little bit, like, yeah, you know you can't win this game. And it's
he won that fight, though. He won that fight, though.
No, but here's the
thing.
He said all he did was hit him real quick in the chest and be like, dude, don't, you know.
I thought he punched him in the face.
I don't know. He hit him really quickly. I don't think it was in the face. But it was really quick. Like, he didn't even hit him hard. But he said that was just to be like, all right, dude, check your mouth really quick. And then the boy hit him. And then when he found out that he was one of the students, he didn't fight back. So I don't know which story I believe. Because
you know what they taught us growing up? You keep picking fights with people, you're going to meet your match. And there you go. He was a professional wrestler. You know, at least he's done some actual wrestling. So, yeah, that's what he is.
Well,
I mean, he's been bullying people all month. I mean, what, the women that he held hostage?
And he's a Marine, so I do believe that he might be crazy. You know,
I didn't know that.
I can't wholeheartedly say that the kid's story was believable either, because he just got on, you know, did this little blog interview, and he was like, "Oh, I don't know what happened. You know, I don't know why he hit me, and I just did what I had to do." Like, come on. Like, I saw the extended video of the fight, and the little kid was squaring up to him for a long time before he hit him. So, I mean, you can't just come off and act like, "Oh, little old me." First of all, why are you 15 or 17 or whatever, and you're in the 7th grade? Can we discuss that?
Wait a minute, hold on, because that's what I forgot. Because, you know, I got confused with the stories. I remember hearing that he was fighting a 7th grader, and, you know, see, I was right. I could have kept that opening there. He was fighting a 7th grader, and then I had heard 17-year-old.
Okay, first I get the story right, because I hope that's 17 in the 7th grade.
Because, I heard 15 years old or whatever, but then it was definitely the 7th grade. Like, Cat Williams just stopped, and he was doing what he does. You know, when Cat Williams goes to visit a town, he always says, "Oh, bring me to the hood," whatever. And he stops and he chills with people. But I saw the extended video.
It was 7th grader. So, the Washington Post has it reported as 7th grader. Just get GED. Just forget it. I mean, why bother? Like, what? How old are you supposed to be? 12 in the 7th grade? Really?
Yeah. No, you know what? I admire him for still going, because at 17 in 7th grade, I would have been too bad to go back.
You should have some shame. You should be embarrassed to go back. And he needs to drop out and get a GED. My high school's valedictorian had been through the 12th grade 3 times, and parents were upset. It's like, seriously? Like, at this point, he went off of memory. Like, that's totally unfair. I mean, and this kid is probably, he's probably going to be the valedictorian. He's probably going to graduate with a 4.5 GPA.
He said, "Oh, boy, memorize the 12th grade. I can't."
I mean, and I remember, like, how upset I was sitting there, like, this is ridiculous. I mean, did you feel sorry for
him? If you visit the 12th grade 3 times, give him valedictorian.
While I don't condone him, you know, hitting the little boy or whatever, I don't believe the little boy either, because I watched the whole fight video, not just the clip of him getting choked out. He did square up to him. He was a little, you know, talking back like badass little kid.
Because the kid lost, to my understanding. That's where the trash talking went. The kid lost, and I believe Cat Williams said that he was like, "Yo, like, why are you talking like that?" And the boy was like, "What are you going to do?"
Yeah.
And I think that was Cat's side that I recall.
Yeah.
I got tired of reading about it.
He said that the little boy was actually standing there cursing him out, like a grown, you know, that's why I don't like sometimes the media.
He didn't know the kid. The other thing was he didn't know him. He said that they were driving down he was riding down the street. The police were tailing him. They got distracted, I think, following the kids. So whatever the case was, he decided, he was on his bike. He asked them, "Yo, where are you all going?" They were playing soccer or whatever it was, football. And he decided to join them. So he didn't know them. I mean, if they were talking trash, I would have walked away. I mean, to live and let live. The kid could have been a little badass, whatever.
He was a badass. The fight started cussing him out.
You didn't have to sit there and take it.
Here's my thing. Well,
and challenge him back. Go ahead.
I might have had to walk away, because what happened with the kid, like, the kid kept walking up into his space. And you know that thing when you get real close and you kind of, like, nudge the person with your shoulder and you're like,
Portia Williams. Portia Williams from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
At that point, I would have had to get back in my car, because I would have been like, okay, I'm about to fight somebody's child. You know what I'm saying? I would have had to have some restraint. Let me get in the car before I fight somebody's child.
Yeah, because us normal people, we have jobs, et cetera, to go back to. So, I do actually work, people. Well, I guess. Well, it hasn't stopped. It hasn't been stopping him recently.
Well, that's why he said that he didn't full-fledged fight the kid back, because he said, he was like, why are you squaring up with me? You know I'm in trouble with the law. I can't be out here doing that.
Why do people do that? You know, you have to bring up your charges and everything. Okay, walk away before you get another one.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that the little boy was like, oh, I'm going to hit him. He can't do anything. He's going to go back to jail. Not knowing that Cat Williams got bail money. I mean, I don't.
You know, here's my experience with that type of stuff. Christopher over here has been politically active in this area that I've talked about, and I can't go over there. Because I cannot deal with these people. But
oh yeah.
No, I can't. I can't. I mean, you know, and I'm not afraid of anyone. But you know, believe me. But
right.
the things that come out of people's mouths and the way that they behave over there, they always want to fight. Somebody always wants to fight. And you know, and people are telling me, an elected official, Seegers is what? This woman who ran against Marion Barry since 1991. Lady, can't you find something else to do with your life?
Right.
So, you know, she says, oh, you know, Vine's always talking, but every time he comes around, he's quiet. Why are you trying to get me to fight? She's like, he doesn't do anything. You are 60-some years old. Why are you trying to provoke me into a fight? Why?
Hold on.
And I've heard that before.
This particular person we're talking about, I was trying to get involved with, and, you know, it was with really good intentions, but it was a nightmare. They asked my support since then, and I'm like, no.
Why are you going to support someone who has lost consistently for the last 10 years? Why? 25 years?
No. That particular group, which I would not name,
distance. I mean, getting in my face, you know, with things like, all that shit you be talking?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, what's up? And and this was in front of an elementary school, and I said, really? 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 This is what we're going to do? We just going to fight me in front of the school?
You know,
really?
And
at a political meeting. Really, that's how you feel?
And they do this a lot. The head of some other Democrat group, I was in mental health, worked in mental health for a few years, and contracting there, and someone was jumping up and down, shouting and screaming, saying, this man, this white man, came here from PG County, saying, you know, he left office in Maryland and came to D.C. because these people are entitled and feel like, you know, you have to have lived here forever, you know, before running for office. But he was jumping up and down screaming, and I thought it was a PCP patient. I was like, okay, I guess the police and the paramedics are going to carry this person away. Lord and behold, this man is a leader of a Democrat group. I've told him about it later on Twitter. I was like, so you are actually an elected person carrying on this way. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, take your medication and maybe you remember something.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's
The political scene on my side of town is very crazy. Like, these people have been waiting for a long time for Marion Barry to die so they can become council member or whatever. And I love the passion that they have, but it's still in so much anger and rage. It's that people with good intentions that want to come and really help out get scared. I'm like, shit, I'm getting death threats. I'm like, oh, God, I'm just doing public relations.
that can't be healthy. Like a 60-year-old woman talking about, yeah, what's up? All right, you talking all that? But come on now.
Oh, wait a minute, Mimi. I have to send you this video. I love it. I was in corporate communications for a national union here, and there's this woman who I hated coming to her floor. I will not say her name, or should I? it's on the internet.
You have a Twitter, right?
No, we're live. It's no big deal. It's okay. It's online. So Mary Cuthbert, she is in this meeting where she shouted something. I think she asked for the quorum, whatever. And this 18-19 year old was outside the door, and he told her to, you know, shut the F up, like he just said it. She gets up, this 70-year-old lady charges this kid across the room and gets in his face and shoves him and said, what you going to do? Who you gonna F with? Who you going to fuck with? She said, you going to tell me to shut the F up? And look, he bucked on her. And the people got involved, and they pulled him back, and they said, you better not hit that old lady. You better not hit her.
I mean, you jump in somebody's face, though. I don't know. See, and this is why I tell people not to try.
It is like, I'm pressing charges. I said, on a 70-year-old lady, number one, only a gay person would do something. Like, I don't see a straight person pressing charges on a 70-year-old woman.
What?
I don't.
What does the gay thing have to do with it?
It's always the gay men who feel that they're equal with women wanting to fight them. And she's 70. What is she going to do?
I don't agree with that, Devon. I wouldn't even put that out there.
What is she going to do? I mean, unless she, the 70-year-old woman happens to be Tyler Perry in drag and pulls a gun at her. I don't really see.
I'm
surprised you don't have one in her purse already. She probably do, though. She probably do.
Chris, this lady was cited for not having a working phone in her office for like 5 years or something. So,
come on now. How can you still receive calls and don't work?
Exactly. Okay. So I probably doubt that she could afford the license. But then again, who over there not many people over there probably have a legal gun to begin with.
That's crazy. But she shouldn't be. You 70 bucking at people. Hasn't osteoporosis set in? You break me out. Like, I'm trying to fight. I don't.
Or rigor mortis.
You know what? The clown's in there, okay?
I can't.
These 70-year-old women are fighting that because I have witnessed young children cursing out elderly people, and I'm like, yo, like, if I would did that when I was a kid, I would have my ass beat by the people that were standing around. That was just a no-no. And then when I got my ass beat at home.
Yeah, exactly. You got your ass beat by the adults that were standing outside.
Okay.
And they brought you to your mother who was
there. And then all these people who came to this kid's, you know, defense for bucking on the old lady. And I was like, well, anyway, I'll just say this. I worked with her before, and she was a challenge, I admit, because she just is. but, I mean, it's life. I mean, she never challenged me. I mean, I never got charged by a 70-year-old woman, and I can be a bit of a polarizing person. But
yes,
I've never gotten.
You know how that run is.
I have never gotten into a fight with anyone. Many of these elected officials have police records and all over
you know
there
what?
For calling the police on each other and trying to beat each other up inside of these meetings.
That's a mess, Bonnie. You know what? I'm gonna get you a T-shirt made, and the front is gonna say "Who you finna try?" and the back is gonna say "Bet it ain't me."
Woo, bitch, it ain't me.
Can I have that shirt too?
Who you finna try?
You know, I'll have them made. That's crazy. But yeah, I don't. You know, I would have chalked it up to her being a crotchety old lady. I don't know that I would have either bucked back or called police on her. That's a lot.
Yeah, totally not. I mean, I can attend a meeting and, you know, probably be one of the most hated people there and, not get into a fist fight. And lastly, before I go, Chris, there were two people, both of them were about 25 at a time. The chairman of ANC calls the police on someone. He comes in and he's like, have him removed. your friend, former Chairman Gaston? He was like, have this person removed. And then, I guess the guy apologized. And then he was like, oh, it's okay, keep him there. So then later on, he gets Buck again. He says, I want him removed. And the police said, hey, make up your mind. Then they get into a fight. And then Gaston wants to call the police. Green wants to go, you know, wants to call the police. And they said, hey, look, either I can lock both of you up or you act like this didn't happen.
No, that's too much.
Miss Griffin, this is why I cannot go over there. I just do not have the patience. And basically, at the end of the day, you all bark and scream about gentrification all you want while you all are fighting for scraps at the bottom because that's all they're doing. All they do is just tell people the city's not for black people. You know, there are no jobs for you all. We have to increase entitlements, et cetera. You have $500,000 homes being built next door to you. Okay, they're not going to tolerate your asses much longer. So, again, while you all are fighting at the bottom, they're going to be making their boss moves on the side. And all their little asses are going to be moved out to West Virginia somewhere.
Oh, shoot. No, I don't know. I can see the black light. Oh, my goodness. I see the headlines now.
Which is why I can't 100% get with people who are like, oh, they're gentrifying the city. Let's go ahead and move out to, you know, name any other city on the map that doesn't cost as much. That's not how you, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going down without a fight. Okay. I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, I have, I'm pretty sure I have plenty of things going against me, you know, career wise, economic wise. It's a very, DC is a very competitive area, which I always say. But at the end of the day, it's my responsibility to take care of myself. And, you know, you do what you have to make things work, to find where you fit, and I am able to do that without blaming, blaming insert ethnic group here.
And you see, you gotta have a hustle, like you gotta have a niche, you gotta have a base of people that's in that same hustle in terms of like illegal hustle, and that's how you get put on. Like,
disclaimer: we do not promote illegal behavior here. With radio.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, in DC, you have to, like, you just can't come here because, oh, I want to leave my small town. I'm tired. I want to come to DC. You have to come to DC with a plan. This is a city about politics. It's about what do you do for a living before? It's who are you?
Yeah.
And I believe you deal with the same thing. Do you not, Mimi? I mean, you're in New York. I mean, so
yes,
you're in.
100%.
It's double.
Yeah. And my whole thing is nobody, unless you just have no quote-unquote hustle about yourself, nobody here has one job or one single stream of income that they're just relying on. No, everybody has either a second job, you know, or they act or do something else on the side. They have some other way of bringing in money rather than just, you know, oh, I can't live on this wage that I'm getting. I got to leave. You can't, you know. And then when that town gets gentrified, then where are you going? You're just going to move to all 50 states, you know, until you find the cheapest one? Like,
you've got to try. That's all I say. I mean, don't be apathetic. Okay, you know, at least you got to at least give it your all. And keep in mind that people get a lot of money here in D.C. to teach that, to promote that narrative of it being impossible for you. Based on your skin color. You don't have to buy into it. It doesn't have to be. And with that, I'm going to close off the show. I appreciate you two. Today's show was brought to you by our parent company, VM3 Media, your source for communication and media consulting needs. I would like to thank Christopher for being on, as well as...
Thank you.
You're welcome, as well as Mimi.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming. Now, I messed up last week when I announced what my next show is. I got my calendar mixed up. Next week, I get to be on with, as I described, two male Adonises, pop glitz eye candy model Anthony Johns, who just signed to a new agency about a month after we covered him in New York, and a friend of mine of over 10 years, Devin Giddings, both in New York City.
Well, great.
All right, so until then, make sure you tune in. We are live every Sunday at 3 p.m.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, you're welcome. Bye.